American businesses need more skilled workers. How do we find the talent? How do we go about developing it? And how do we create opportunities for everyone in our society to get a good job? You're listening to Work in Progress. I'm Ramona Schindelheim, Editor-in-Chief of Working Nation, a nonprofit media company telling stories about the future of work, the future of education, and closing the job skills gap. Work in Progress explores the rapidly changing workplace. We talk with innovators, educators, decision makers, people with ideas and solutions for today's workforce challenges. If you're re-entering the workforce after a long career break, it might feel like a whole new world, a world full of people who all seem to be decades younger than you. Wouldn't it be tempting to be younger too?
And so I thought, God, if I got a chance to be in my 20s again, you know, if that happened, what would I do?
That train of thought led Pamela Redmond Satran to write Younger, in which a woman in her 40s poses as a 20-something to get a job at a publishing company. Naturally, complications ensue. The novel was made into a TV series starring Sutton Foster and Hilary Duff, which was just renewed for its 7th season. Younger is fiction, but as Satran tells us, it's based on a very real-world concern, one that many women and men face today.
At the time, I was in my 40s, I guess, and a lot of my friends were at the point where their kids were grown up and they were trying to go back to work, and they just felt very shut out of the workplace. Their experience had unraveled, their contacts had unraveled, and nobody really wanted to scoot over and let them back in.
So they're in their 40s, mm-hmm. They go in, and now they're interviewing with people who are
in their
20-something.
Yep.
So that might have been an uncomfortable situation for them.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe who didn't give a lot of value to having left the workplace at 27 or whatever and spent 15 years at home, as Liza, the heroine of Younger, has done, and now wants to get back in. It's like, no, you're not.
Well, in her case, too, she had only really, I believe, worked like 9 months in your original novel. Worked 9 months and then stopped and had a child.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and the fact is most women have worked longer than that, but they may not have worked in careers they want to go back to. They may have decided to stay home with kids because they were kind of at the end of a line anyway with that, you know, field maybe I'm not so interested in, or maybe I'm thinking of a friend of mine who was a camera woman on TV and felt, you know, just felt like she didn't want to deal with a very sexist field as well as a field that was going to be ageist and physical.
You know, we talk about at Working Nation, we talk about how fast everything's changing. Mm-hmm. So the skills you might have had at 27 are definitely outdated if you haven't kept up with it. And in as the case with Liza, mm-hmm. you know, she was raising a family, doing volunteer work, mm-hmm, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So she wasn't really upskilling herself. So so that puts her at another disadvantage.
Yes.
So the way you constructed your story is she doesn't have enough experience to become, you know, a senior editor, but she's too old to be an executive assistant
or
starting in the workplace. So talk a little bit about how you, you know, like what was going through your head when you're writing that part of it.
Well, I think I was thinking, even though I had worked all the way through having kids, I had not worked full time and I was writing magazine articles mostly. And I had always wanted to write novels. So I had this very personal experience of being in my late 40s, you know, kind of facing, like my kids were all in school, facing this thought, like, this is what you've always wanted to do. And you've been working for 25 years and you haven't done it. You know, if not now, when? And I went to take a writing class, you know, like a beginning, you know, fiction writing class, UC Berkeley Extension. And I was so nervous. I remember sitting in the parking lot and just feeling, you know, physically ill because it was so difficult to be a beginner again. And I think that's what causes problems for a lot of people. It's that psychological barrier and how uncomfortable and ignorant you feel and letting yourself go back there because it's not a pleasant feeling.
We've talked to some, you've heard of the carrier workers, you know, in Indiana and how they, you know, in their 40s, their jobs are going away.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we learned from them was it is that fear of being going back into a classroom and
having to sit aside next to somebody who's 18 or 19 and say, you know, I don't know this. So now you have to please teach me. You know, nobody wants to be that. And most of us didn't like school anyway when we were 18. So,
So
that sounds like fun, right?
Right. I mean, I had a little realization that helped me, which is like, you're the student, you're supposed to be ignorant. It's like, and it kind of helped. I mean, sometimes you just need to find the words to talk to yourself, to feel better about doing what you know you need to do, you know? I mean, the option for me was, you know, just kind of go away and decide I was never going to do this, which a lot of people do with, you know.
With anything, not just writing.
Yeah, with anything. I mean, maybe, you know, your late 40s, 50 are, for a lot of reasons, a time that people kind of look hard at where they've gone in their life, either by choice or because they've been downsized, and say, what next? And there's a lot of time next. You know, you've got a couple of decades at least ahead. And for women, it's often a very free time, much freer than when they're in their 20s and 30s and might be having kids or thinking about having kids. And
So you wrote this as a novel, standalone novel. And I remember you were telling me that it had been optioned a couple of times.
Yes.
And so for anybody who's written anything, you know, you get an option and you think, oh, payday. And then maybe they don't take it to a television show. But then Darren Star came along.
Yes. Darren Star came along. And I think he was the fifth person to option it. And so even though I was like a crazed Sex and the City fan, and I was like blown away that he was optioning it, I didn't really believe that he would make the show, because my experience had been that nobody ever makes the show. And so I was really stunned when all the lights kept turning green.
Oh, that's great. And it allowed you, though, to take your character in a different direction, too. Mm-hmm. So now she is in a workplace over the seasons. She's been in the workplace with younger people, with some of them are almost mentoring her.
Yes.
And she's mentoring them in different ways, like we talked at the beginning. So what have you learned over the years as that's developed?
Mm. Well, it's been, you know, I've been really happy that Darren and the writers have taken the show in such a workplace-focused direction. The book was more about the conflict between work and motherhood, which both Liza and Maggie, her friend, are wrestling with. But in the show, it's become really this big workplace show, and that relationship between the younger woman played by Hilary Duff and
I know.
And she's so great, because what I was thinking of for that character was the younger person who just can't wait for it all to happen. You know, she just can't wait to be a full-fledged grown-up. And I remember...
That's a great juxtaposition. Yeah.
The editor of Glamour for many years was Ruth Whitney. And she is the boss in the book, Mrs. Whitney. She was this revered older woman for a whole generation of magazine editors. And I remember going into her office once and saying, like, well, I want to know, you know, what's my future going to be here? I mean, after all, I am 27 years old. And she did exactly that. She started laughing uproariously. And I had no perspective at that time. I thought 27, like, let's get this nailed down. You know, it felt like my clock was ticking. My career clock was ticking.
This is Work in Progress, and I'm Ramona Schindelheim. We're talking with author Pamela Redmond-Satrin. When we come back, Satrin shares the uncomfortable truth about taking on midlife challenges.
The more comfortable you can get with feeling uncomfortable, the better your life's going to be, because you will do a lot of things you might not otherwise do.
The future of work is changing. Are you ready? If you're not yet familiar with Working Nation, let me tell you a little about us. We're a nonprofit media company made up of seasoned journalists, producers, business leaders, and educators. Our mission is to bring awareness to the impact changing technology is having on the workforce. A lot of people are talking about the problem. At Working Nation, we're focused on solutions. We're looking at the programs that are out there, and we're talking to the people who are working to close the skills gap, the gap between the skills employers need in a workforce and the skills workers actually have. We do this through Working Nation videos, articles, live events, and of course, podcasts. All of these and more can be found on our website, workingnation.com, your source for all information on the future of work. The television series Younger, based on the book by my guest Pamela Redmond Satran, takes the story further as the lead character Liza dives into a messy love triangle and plenty of office politics. We've come a long way from the days when Mary Richards had to fight for equal pay on The Mary Tyler Moore Show, but out in the real world, there are still so many examples of discrimination in the workplace. Are things changing fast enough?
I think certainly there is a new consciousness on the part of people of all how wrong it is to discriminate against people based on, of course, sex and race, sexual orientation, size, the A.D. Bryant shrill. Age is right in there, you know. I think people are more willing to maybe consider that it might be wrong.
And one thing I was also thinking, and kind of going back and closing, you know, buttoning up the younger idea, in it, we see she's 40, 42 is it when she starts. She hasn't worked in the workplace since she was 27. She hasn't upskilled. Mm-hmm. Then you can teach an old dog new tricks, can learn at any age. It's not like something was invented that, oh, you're over 40, you don't understand, you can't understand it.
Right. I was thinking about the new cover of the book today, which is kind of a Cinderella picture, and I was thinking, oh, the perfect tagline is it ever too late to go to the ball? You know, and I thought, yeah, it felt very apt to me because of the theme of transformation and, the clock striking and the feeling that you're too late or that you don't belong there. But the truth is, you know, if you want to belong there, you belong there. And a lot of it is getting comfortable with feeling uncomfortable. This is something I've said before. And it's not just age related. You know, I say this to my kids, too. It's like the more comfortable you can get with feeling uncomfortable, the better your life's going to be, because you will do a lot of things you might not otherwise do. So I have something that I do that I find very helpful that I learned from a young friend, actually a successful young friend, which is that I have a word of the year. And, I usually kind of just let it come to me because I want to do what's, just feels right on a organic level. But this year, my word has been success. And I will tell you that as an older woman, I have taken a lot of grief for having that word because that's another thing you're not supposed to do, right? But I'm doing it. And I told a friend of mine the other day that having that as my word has made me more focused on winning than I am by nature. And being focused on winning has made me do all kinds of things that I was never comfortable doing before. So it's really been interesting that having a goal outside of, that's larger than just myself or the job I'm doing inspired me to do bigger things in my life that I might not have reached for before. So what I'm saying is that some of it is thinking of yourself in a different way or having a bigger goal than you've had before, changing the goal. You know, you have to reassess, and maybe when you were 30, you had a certain career goal, and maybe you've reached that at 50. And so what do you want now, and where do you want to go now? And that might inspire you to do all kinds of things you didn't think you could do and you didn't think you were allowed to do.
Work in Progress is produced by Working Nation, your source on the future of work. I'm Ramona Schindelheim. My guest today was Pamela Redmond Satran, author of the bestseller, Younger. Working Nation has articles, videos, and more about the changing workplace. Visit us at workingnation.com. Next week, we kick off the new year by talking about the most in-demand jobs of the future. Jake Schwartz of General Assembly has one word for those just starting out in their careers.
Data, data, data. It doesn't matter if it's marketing, if it's operations, if it's finance, if it's sales. Data is the secret.
To hear more about the future of work and workers, subscribe to Work in Progress wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks to our producer, Annie Chelsea, and executive producers, Joan Lynch and Melissa Panzer. Our theme music was composed by Lee Rossevere and licensed under Creative Commons Attribution License 4.0 International. Happy holidays, and see you next time.